Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch like we did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well. Oh, 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 oh. Sign your pen pals.
Ladies and gentlemen, pallers and pennies alike.
I love when you go big.
I do too. Something has happened that Daniel and I promised would never happen. OG, producer from the jump, we said we'll never have a microphone on this show. And if he wanted it, he would have to earn it. And my God, if that day hasn't come, Nuno is on the mic. As our fifth?
I have no idea.
Fifth or sixth guest? We'll never know. Only Adam Shanley will ever know.
Noah, do you know?
Do you know?
Not off the top of my
head. Five or six feels right.
It feels
John Doerr.
Correct.
John Doerr.
Jacobs.
Jacoby. Reggie.
Conan.
Conan.
Nuno.
So five.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are we missing somebody?
I mean, that's not a bad Fab Five for your sidekick phone.
That's going to get you second place in the national championships with Michigan, the Michigan Wolverines.
And we are not Fab calling five. An extra timeout.
We're not, because we don't have them. Nuno joining us as this is the final Starburns episode of Pen Pals 1.0.
You are on this 2.0 thing.
I don't even know that I know what those... Like, why does 0.0 have to be... Just say Pen Pals 2.
Because they do have other ones.
Okay, like 2.3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's update versions.
What would you say this is going to be? Would you say going to Team Co is 2.0? Was that what you would look at it as?
Yeah.
Or is that like 1.5?
No.
You know what? I feel like Zooms for a year...
Mm-hmm. Is its own version?
No, it's 1.  something.
So we had Pen Pals 1.
Pen Pals 1. Then Noah was gone. We were with Aristotle. Maybe that was Pen Pals 1.2. Or that was 1.2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Noah comes back. That's 1.3.
Okay.
Zoom for a year. That's 2.0.
Okay.
Then we go to Team Coco. Maybe that's 3.0.
Well, we got to change our branding if it's 3. I've been on this too.
I have too. I have to go back to the logo. Our logo guy. Noah!
Noah,
remember on Jiminy Glick, he'd always go like,
well, now I got to go back to the logo guy.
Noah, tell me what is.
I love that.
No, you don't like your kids.
Okay. Noah was in Yellowstone.
I was in Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
That's right.
Walk me through it, moment to moment. What was it like?
We don't have time for all that. Yeah,
let him do it.
I saw some
any wildlife?
Bears.
You did
I saw
see bears?
Bears and bear cubs.
Bison, I saw a video.
Bison babies.
But you're video talking Bette Midler style, right? From a distance?
Yes, okay. From a distance.
Did you see, you posted either a video or a picture, and you said got up super early, saw like a lot of wildlife, and it was totally worth it. And honestly, that's the closest I've ever seen a Lion King style convergence of animals that were like clearly going to meet the new king.
Really?
Yes.
Like
right?
There was a bunch of bison.
They were all backlit because it was like at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. They had a bunch of young, they call them red dogs, the babies, because they look like little red dogs.
Now, was that a hot tip somebody gave? They said, get out there early.
I went with a guide.
I'm like, I know them.
I was very lucky to have a hookup because an old friend of mine used to be a guide, and then he hooked me up with someone who knows their way around the wildlife. And then I went and watched wolves and saw the wolf pups.
Really?
And also from very far away, talked with the guy who is like the preeminent wolf expert of Yellowstone, which is crazy.
Are wolves in the wild fucking like huge?
I assume so, but we were really
so
far away.
You didn't know. Yeah.
But
that's insane.
Yeah, the story of wolves in Yellowstone is really interesting too, because they all killed them off.
The population is way back, right?
Yeah, and wasn't until 1995.
Gray wolf.
There are, I think technically they're gray wolves, but there are darker ones, there are lighter ones, like different colors.
Do you think there's any listeners who have, like, because I know that Noah chimes in.
Right.
Do you think there's any listeners who have never heard your voice?
No.
It's impossible, right?
I mean,
or if they're just now listening, they don't know the history to know how crazy it must be to hear his voice.
Like, if they only listen
to at length.
Right.
I bet you there's a lot of listeners who haven't listened to Noah at length.
I mean, if you were a Goodnight Gang member, then you...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
But that's not all our Pennies and Pallors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I bet you there's some overlap there for
definite
sure.
Definite overlap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got a lot of OL on that.
We OL. DPT OL.
Oh, my God, yeah.
GNS.
Dad's OL.
DS.
So, Noah, you and I went to lunch at 101 Cafe. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Wait, recently?
Nope.
Oh, I was about to say.
What would you say? Spring of 2017?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like early spring. Early spring.
And I said, Rory and I have been wanting to do a show together after Pound Cake.
And we had already done one that was wildly famous and popular. Mm-hmm.
Too big, actually.
It was so big we had to step back.
And we had so many ideas for shows. And then we landed on this. And I said,
that's not a joke. We had 4 very good ideas that I don't tell anyone about because I don't know what Pen Pals 8.0 is going to look like.
And we said, and Rory agreed, we can't get this show off the ground if Noah Eberhardt doesn't come do it with us. And so I bought you lunch.
No, I remember disagreeing with that.
That you paid for. And I still owe you for that lunch. But
he pulls the receipt out and he goes, and that's why I'm here today. You owe me $6.27.
And I will get into the letters and everything, but it's been a great run with you, man. You know, we did this show, we did the good night show together. You've been a part of this. You look at things like, I mean, I'll never forget you going to that racist bar in Houston and riding the Ferris wheel by yourself.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody
knew. You texted me. You go, I'm going.
You're getting canceled. Noah, you're getting canceled today.
Yeah, this is actually going to be it for you. And then we bring a huge group out to confront him. When we were doing the Texas and we were all going on the Instagram live and you would go on the riding routes on a dude and I were like, Noah's on a Ferris wheel somewhere.
Can I say side note? Usher's about to start a residency at Caesars and people are freaking out because tickets sold out so fast. And I thought to myself, like, pointed at me, seen him already.
I did it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And you did. You did do it.
So you know, and then you stepped away for a while and then you came back and it's just been great, man. So I don't think there's any better way. There's a lot of people that helped make this show possible. But it was the 3 of us riding in the front seat to get it off the ground and get it going. And we couldn't close this out without you being here. And going forward, obviously, you've made real friends just like we have through this and community and
which
this
is
show.
So surreal. It's
I know.
So surreal that there's surreal. Like this yeah. community.
And you play a role in all that, awesome. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. you produce a show that somebody like Dave Jacoby likes and sends in. And it's not just our performances.
Yeah.
And so you play a role in that. And he's a friend of yours, obviously, as well. And he's not so much a friend of mine or Rory's, but you like him a lot. And that's good. And so going forward, even though you won't be producing at Team Coco, there's no way you're not a part of this community. And I will see how today goes. But I bet you come back as a guest for future episodes of Pen Pals 2.6 or 7. So,
and who even knows what that looks
who
like?
Who even knows?
We'll be in outer space.
And I even know. Then, we're like, you don't get a microphone. No, we go right back to it.
All right. We have time for more of this and thank yous and stuff. But do you want to go?
I think we should go. And I think Noah should say it because this is also technically the last time we can do outside of the Patreon.
Right.
But this is the last time we can do a copyrighted thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And if this is the episode we get sued for.
Noah goes to jail.
What?
Here we go.
The code of ready, prison.
Noah? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
Yeah! Ooh. I liked it, Noah.
Sensual.
Ooh, let's that was the hair talking.
You just like letters.
I know. Okay, you ready?
We have to think of what the new thing's going to be. Write us and tell us what the new thing should be. Dan, it's your podcast.
You could just go back to yelling it. Are you done with that?
I don't know. There's been times I almost did it because it was so instinctual.
I loved it. You'd run it out?
And I'd get mad. I was letting out a lot of demons.
Do you remember in Dallas? Do you remember in Dallas when we ran off stage to go?
Yeah.
We did a whole routine.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've evolved. But I could see us doing it again.
Dear Daniel and Rory. So already.
Already great. Noah's excluded, mm-hmm. which I think is what the order's wrong. And also, Kevin, you know, you should have known that Noah was going to be
dear here. Daniel and Rory, I hope it's just the two of you for this letter because I have some negative things I'd like to say about Noah. Whoa.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. Here we go.
So specific.
Dear Daniel and Rory, I was always a scared kid, convinced that there were monsters in the basement and ghosts everywhere. By the time of this story, I thought I was over it. Good, already a good writer. In the late 1990s, I lived in a small French Quarter apartment. The apartment was in the outbuilding in what would have been the kitchen at the time the house was built in the 1820s. The conversion to apartments took place in the 1960s. One night, I woke up in my bed and there was a woman standing in my bedroom with her back to me.
Nope.
Facing the wall.
Nope.
She was wearing a red 1940s style house with little white
house
flowers on it.
House dress.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I dressed.
She had a house on.
Yeah. She was wearing a red 1940s style house dress with little white flowers on it, and her dark hair was pulled back in a bun. Being a grown ass adult, I immediately pulled the covers over my head and counted to 10. 10. 10. When I peeked out again, she turned around and smiled at me. I screamed like a little child and went right back under the covers. When I finally worked up to the nerve to come out, she was gone. About a year later, a friend was staying at my place and called me at work because she had let a contractor into the courtyard and didn't want to wait to let him out when he was done. I called my landlord, who lived in the main house, and left her a message to make sure she could handle it. I called my friend back, who said, "Don't worry about it. I just saw Mary in her kitchen across the courtyard. She was walking towards the front of the house." I thought nothing of it, until my landlord called me 2 hours later from Los Angeles. She had flown out at 6 that morning, and no one was in her house. I called my friend, who said that she had let the contractor out herself, but insisted that she had seen Mary in her apartment. She was wearing one of those vintage dresses that she wears. Mary was a screenwriter in the 90s. You know how those LA types dig being hip, of course. The final chapter of the story. I walk out to the street one evening, and there's an older gentleman standing talking to my friend. He asks what the address is, and when I tell him, he says, "I think this is the house. When I was a child, a friend of my mother lived here. Her husband worked the ships out on the river and would be gone for weeks at a time. He found out that she was stepping out on him, and the story goes that he went down to the French Market and bought a gun, pulled up out front, and went back to where she was in the kitchen, put three bullets in her head, and left town forever. So is she who I saw? Maybe. I never tried to do any research into this theoretical murder because I like how the I like the story how it stands. Hope y'all enjoyed it too. I wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pal, Kevin.
Jesus Christ. Right off the top, it's you. Do you research this, right?
Yes.
There's no way I like how the story stands. I go, no, I need to know. I need to fucking know right now.
Because even if there was no murder, that doesn't negate what you saw.
It doesn't negate that when you came back out, someone turned and smiled at you. Do you
straight up believe in ghosts?
Do you believe
like
in
this?
Ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
I wasn't asking you.
You looked at me.
I know. Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't, but I believe people who believe
in ghosts.
Yeah.
Because for you, it's like,
hold on. You don't believe them, but you believe them for believing in them?
I'm with
Noah. Yeah, absolutely.
What does that explain that?
I've never seen anything paranormal. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm like attuned to that. I've talked to people who have told me that they're mediums or psychics, and I don't believe that I'm sensitive to it, but okay. I believe
they
other
could
people
be large as an extra large as
but that means if you're saying I don't believe in ghosts, do you think those people who do, but you're saying I do believe those people who do, I feel like those are contradictory statements.
Are you saying you only believe in things you experience?
No, I'm saying they're... There
take
might
his
be
mic.
Something.
Take his mic from him.
No,
I can't personally say that I believe in it, but I believe what they experience, and yes. I don't know if that's a ghost. I don't know what it is, but I believe that they believe in what they're seeing.
Here's what I want to say to that. I think because you believe that you believe in what they're experiencing is that you do believe that it's possible.
Well, do you believe in ghosts?
I believe that
Do you believe, Kevin, that he straight up saw a fucking woman wearing a house?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
We all do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
What if he's Ponders?
There's people who are going to tell you Kevin was asleep.
I believe.
And then Kevin's going to go, what about Mary?
Yeah.
Not being in her house, and a woman was.
Also, Mary, just so everyone knows, is spelled M-A-R-I.
I know, I don't know which way to go.
I think you did the right call.
I had to pick.
You made the right call. Because I want to say Marie, but I think there'd be an E on the end.
That'd be, but it might be Mari.
Mari. Oh. Mari's fun. I like Mari.
We can go Mari.
From now on, it's Mari.
Okay.
Here, I don't know that I think that ghosts exist, but I do think that there are, I think that we are made of energy. And I don't think that energy just ceases to exist.
Energy does because not our cease. It can't cease
our
to exist.
Our bodies are these organic things that, that grew and was, you know, in the reality is we were fertilized and we grew inside of a woman. And then we became, you know, this organic material, this matter.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about the energy of what we are that I do believe. And I believe that when we die, I concede that I don't know where that energy goes, but I don't think the energy just dissipates and it's gone. I think it's possible that something happens. And I think that when people
energy
say
can
they
manifest
see,
into a shape or to a color,
so.
Or
but also a sound? I think that there are weird things where I look at it this way, where there's a chance that right now someone is in this apartment in how old are these apartments?
Let's call it 1960s.
Let's say 60s. There's someone in this apartment right now.
You're about to go where I'm going.
It's 1962. And they swear to God, they see three people talking into microphones in the kitchen, in the dining room.
This is my thing. Kevin and I briefly talked about this back in the stereo days, okay? So this is my thing.
This Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So what if time really is a flat circle, right? And so think of it like the planets revolving around the sun. Every once in a while, two planets will line up. They won't share the same space, but every once in a while, just on that flat rotation that they're on, they will line up. So what if everything is always happening all at once and we have assigned what time is.
Yes.
There was a moment where his timeline
converged.
Or dimension
matched up with hers for a brief second. And just like you said, yes. Rory, she is walking around in her time right now. Like, I turned around and there was just a person.
There
in
was
the
a
bed,
man.
And I couldn't think of what to do. I just kind of smiled at them. Yeah. I was so caught off guard and then they were gone.
Yeah. I think that's possible. I think so the that's idea like a of
dimensional
like ghosts,
thing, right? That's a dimension or just a multiple. Yeah. Dimension's different than time.
I actually think it's too big for us to ever understand what it is until perhaps if something does happen when we die to then go, oh, okay. In whatever our understanding right. of things are.
Right.
Can I ask a dumb question? This is maybe a dumb question. It's only yeah. just now
Noah
occurring
to
me.
Noah has to answer it first.
Okay. All the planets mm-hmm. of the solar system?
No. Mm-hmm.
Is it all on the same plane?
No.
No.
Because yeah. it's always presented to you that way. Right. And it's only just now when you said that time is a circle of plane, you said the planets. I was like, oh, I actually don't know how we fall onto our...
I didn't know 100% either. And then I remembered that there are those ones, solar systems, that they go out and then up at different heights.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I think and that is supposed is to like... be relative to where they would be
yeah.
to the sun.
But here's like something you never think about. Maybe a dumb about. Question, but also
if you
not
were looking
at
the sun, and I guess it's relative, but just say pick a perspective. Is it possible that you would see the Earth to the left and then like a different planet above it?
Great question. Fucking great question, dude.
Because some are moving at a...
I think so. Well, if you think about like Noah when you see planets, answer. When you see planets in the sky, when you see like Jupiter or Mars, they're not all on the same
plane,
right? So
don't say right because I don't know.
And don't also, you are. Know that we don't know. You know I don't know. You know that I don't know.
Right.
I guess that is true. Yeah. That's what you right. mean. I did this. I have VR at home, the Vive, V-I-V. I don't know how. Maybe that's how you say it.
It's Mari.
I have the Mari VR yeah. at my house yeah. where you just see this woman like in a kitchen and this like super cool dress. It's got like these white flowers on it. Anyway, she's always stepping out on her husband. Don't you love that?
Stepping yeah, out.
She was always stepping out on her husband. That's, I think that wrong. Just, I so love right. that.
Yeah.
I wish we would start saying that instead of cheating. Like, ah, he's stepping out on her.
Hey, he's stepping out on her.
It doesn't seem so bad.
It also seems way more chill.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah, people have different sexual energies.
Oh,
people are looking for
he
different
took
things.
A step.
Maybe it's not, you know, he's not being, you know, respectful of her emotions about it, but he's just stepping out.
What if we changed all of it? Like, what if you weren't poly anymore? You were just steppers.
You step.
Yeah.
And it comes with like
yeah.
And yeah, that just plays when you do it. I'm stepping out, babe.
For the record, Noah did not snap. Just want everyone.
And also for the
know.
Record, I think when Daniel said Noah had to answer, did he answer or did you go, no? I think you answered immediately.
No, he answered.
Oh. Playing it back in my head like Noah has to answer. Are we on the same plane? No, we're not. Daniel.
He answered enough for me.
I saw it in his eyes.
It could get really confusing if you're like, that's my stepdad. And it's like, no, that's my dad, but he stepped well, out
he
on
stepped
my mom.
Out.
Well,
he's a
that
stepper.
Would be
oh,
a stepdaddy.
Oh,
that would
be a stepdaddy.
Gotcha. Stepdaddy.
Stepdaddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. I don't believe, I think the word ghosts.
But you believe Kevin.
I believe Kevin. I believe the word ghosts is, we've now just put this like feeling on the word ghost that mm-hmm. is horror and scary. And so I just think ghost is not the right word because I don't think there's a haunting. I don't think any of that. But I do think that there is, that you do hear enough of these that even if someone goes, everybody who's ever had a ghost, or they're making them all up. I'm going, but that's exciting. I'll go, it's exciting. Good for them.
Even
they add
Kevin,
a little spice.
Even if Kevin is wrong, he's not making it up.
Right. I one time, I don't remember if I said this on the show ever, was staying at Andy Haynes' mom's house in Seattle. It was during Bumbershoot. Andy was watching Kanye West. I went to bed at his mom's house. Maybe I have talked about that.
I don't know.
And I was in bed experiencing that paralysis that you experience. Felt someone sit on the end of the bed. It was so real. And I couldn't move and I was terrified. But I was also aware of like the sleep paralysis.
Karen
so I was like,
Gareth has this
oh, I'm
too.
Kind of awake.
Yeah.
So I'm probably thinking that because I'm asleep and feeling it. And the movement of the mattress was so real that I was like, is Andy home and like sat down and he's talking to me right now and I can't hear it? I was like, because it makes no sense that his mom would have come in here and right. sat on the other bed. Right. I was like, right. So if it's not Andy, who in the fuck is in this room right now?
No, no.
And then I did that thing where I just shook myself. And like
did
no,
you have to
no
count?
One's there. Yes.
I have to count.
And then no one was there.
but you're certain to this day some...
It was Kevin.
Somebody, something sat on that bed.
Yes. But I concede that I might have interpreted it that way. I'm not saying Kevin's interpreting something. What I'm saying is that is the closest version I have of something like this, where I was like, get me under the fucking covers and make this go away, because what the fuck is happening? That's the closest I've been to Kevin's situation, which I believe. I believe that he saw a woman in a dress and it was terrifying. And it was like, what the fuck?
Wouldn't it suck, Noah, to have... He knows this.
Right.
And even you, mm-hmm. who have interacted with Kevin Harrington, I have. Mm-hmm. He has to know that fully people can't believe him.
Right.
Oh, for sure. But think about, like, if you undeniably saw a ghost.
Right.
And you said, it's a ghost. I looked into it. It's a ghost.
Right.
What does that do to your perception of, like, your life and reality?
That's the thing.
Does it make things better? Do you go, oh, there, something definitely does happen, so I don't have to, you know.
If you really did get abducted by aliens.
If nothing happens, it's not sad, because you won't know.
Right.
The only thing to ever be concerned about is if someone's right and hell does exist. Then you go, oh, God, well, I hope I pass the fucking test, which
you will.
I can assure everyone, and I don't even know, but I'm pretty certain hell doesn't exist, and we're all going to be fine.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
If you did see a ghost, you would go, well, that, like, hey, that's kind of cool. Something does happen. There is something.
But you've never had anything paranormal?
No.
No UFO stuff?
No, not personally.
But see, that's the other thing. Yeah. Like,
have you had UFO stuff?
No.
But this is when Daniel goes, my friend, Ricky Thompson, he knows his, and he knows the mom, and he knows the car she drove. And
what number he played. And
Mary Beth Schweitzer. And Roy Marks.
No, is this real?
Yes.
Fucking Jesus. I make a joke about it, and then he goes, that's where this is going.
Roy Marks has a UFO story outside of Rochelle. This thing was flying next to him and Mia Ramsey. They dated for a long time in high school.
Everyone knows that.
He is driving his Geo Metro, and this is over the field next to him, driving parallel, hovering above the sky, right?
Okay.
And now you got to remember, in Rochelle, it's as flat as this table. So you can see very far.
Yeah.
I'm talking like you could be going 10 miles the opposite direction, perpendicular to Roy.
Yeah.
And you could look over and see what he sees.
We all picture where Superman grew up, right?
Yeah.
When he talks about Rochelle.
Fields, yeah.
So this is in the fall. So there's no more corn. Everything's perfectly flat. So
no more corn.
Roy is driving. Okay.
Yeah.
And this thing is next to him, just keeping up. And then all of a sudden it goes, and it is like, he said it was like 50, 60 miles away, gone. Okay.
You have told this before. I've heard this.
So then.
Maybe even from Roy.
So then Mary Beth, unprompted.
Mary Beth.
Tells me the same story from a completely different part of town. Where she's like, we could see this thing. It was really far, and it looked like it was going slow, like over a cornfield.
Yeah, you've told me that.
I think I have. And then it was gone. And they were not friends in high school.
Right.
They didn't live in the same neighborhood. They were in different classes. The one thing you know about Rochelle, everybody knows everybody, but you also know who doesn't know each other.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
And so, like, they knew each other.
Yeah.
Neither one of them,
Christ.
Roy would be the type of person to, like, joke around with you that he also saw it if he hadn't.
Yeah.
But he said it first. Mary Beth is the type of person who would never, like, make it up.
Yeah.
So do I know what they saw? No. But do these guys off the fucking Coronado Islands, these pilots, do they know what they saw either? No. But to go back to what you said, Roar, if you were abducted by aliens and then put back somewhere else than where you were picked up, you don't get to live the same life as everybody else.
How could you? You know what, actually, I...
Because you know something that is so beyond what everybody else knows. Even if somebody tells you, well, you're wrong, that didn't happen. Okay, fine. That's what you know.
Yeah.
But I know what I know.
I think that the way our brains operate, I think you almost would kind of forget. I think you, no matter what, we always live in these patterns.
You'd start to think it must have been a dream. It didn't really happen.
Like, right. I was just talking to Scott the other day, and he was like, I read an article that they predict that how we feel about, like, we won't remember this pandemic in the way that it was.
No.
That it almost will feel like it's already brushed off. And you already go, yeah, it does feel like we're already moving past it. And it's like, yes. And in 2 years from now, when you look back, you're going to be like, oh yeah, the pandemic. He was like, the way that you feel about it won't be this dramatic, oh my God, everything shut down. Like, you kind of forget and you move back.
Now, for some people who lost people and stuff like that, that's a different experience. Generally.
I mean, generally. Yes. People that just...
If you lost your livelihood or your business or you lost your home or you lost a loved one, of course, that is a different...
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was so interesting. And I think that's like, true of even things like this that involve like crazy trauma. I think our brains are just designed to protect us because our brains somehow know we can't handle, like Jack Nicholson, we can't handle the truth. Yeah. We actually cannot handle it. Like, I think our brains are already like, oh, of course there's aliens. I'm not going to let you know that because I'm here to keep you safe.
Peaceful or non-peaceful. If Independence Day, like ships like show up.
Yeah.
We're done. Like, we're done.
Yes.
People aren't going to pay their credit cards.
If they're here to kill us, we're done.
People aren't going to stop at a fucking toll booth anymore to like put 85 cents. Like,
right.
Like, so much of society is like, oh, so we've just built all this on the assumed idea that our society is the way things work. And we've just found out that there's a whole other level to how things work. So I don't give a shit.
It's all very breakable.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, honestly,
and that's what the government's afraid of. That's what they're, when you find out huge things like this, like we can't tell the public this because blank would happen. And sometimes that's happened with things like on some levels, things like Vietnam and other like other choices that have been made or things that we've read. Like if there was an era 51, they were like, we just came out of World War II. We just started putting this back together.
Dive right.
We cannot tell the American public, like, guys, we just had a depression 15 years ago, we were in the middle of.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we're too thin.
Right, right.
And you think about it on those levels, it's wrong on many or maybe some levels, but it's also like, yeah, I get that.
Right.
Because we can't have all bets be off.
Right.
We need people to care about building a bridge literally and figuratively.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think if they wanted us
dead.
That's
all the time we have, folks. Thanks for.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if they exist, then they must not want us dead.
I think they don't want what we have to offer.
Right.
Or they haven't figured out we have anything they need.
Exactly. Because if they want us dead, I don't think we'd even know. I don't think it would be like Independence Day. I don't think we'd see them. I think it would be like a bug getting squished under your shoe. Like 1 second you're there.
Because we don't have anything to offer them except land.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. I don't know that they want land. I think if they're...
If you're here, you're so far beyond us.
Yes.
Right.
But... There is something to it. And I know that this is a crazy thought, but it's a possible scenario.
Go for it.
If there are aliens, and it's seeming more and more, I do believe that there are.
I do too.
And it's seemingly more that there's more evidence that there is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if people go, well, why, you know, I think they are smart. If they are smart enough to be here and we've never spotted them. Now, granted, it's not like we're geniuses who know everything, but if they have found us.
It's very not like that.
I think they're smart enough to go, well, we know we can't just go down there. We have to monitor them to see what the deal is, because if we just go, we might be attacked.
For sure.
And so I think when you start to conclude, let's say as a hypothetical, the aliens go, oh, actually, I don't think they can handle us. I think they're far inferior. So I think we would be fine.
Yeah.
We can't sit here and say that those aliens don't specifically want us. We can't say, you know, we went to Africa and grabbed people to come here.
Right.
So we're like,
because we thought they were inferior.
Exactly.
Let's own it.
Yep. And we go, so you guys will do the work for us, because also we didn't know how to do the work that they could do. It's not like I went through a great Twitter thread that someone had posted that was just like, it's not like you didn't just grab people. You grabbed very smart people who knew how to do things, and that's who you brought here. And then you needed manpower and all these things. We can't sit here and say that we aren't that, you know? Right. And so you do look at it and you go, you know, you want to believe. I used to have a joke about how scientists say there's 90 billion Earths out in our galaxy alone that we don't know about that are probably inhabitable. And I was like, and are there people on it? And are we the redneck Earth? Like, they're all like, they can't even stop killing each other. They right. don't even get that they're just one of 90 billion.
Right.
They don't understand they're on a team against us.
What do you always say about the white trash family in town? They're always fighting with each other.
Always right? in fighting.
They're always fighting with each other.
And it's like, if aliens showed up, you'd like to believe you could go, hey, can you get us back on track, starting with climate change? Are we effed, or do you know something we right. could maybe do? And right. they're like, well, we have this spray. If everyone does it for 5 minutes, it fixes right. it. You want to believe these absurd things. But I...
Don't you ever wonder about that?
If there's a solution
to... Like, I really hope we have some say in what people they encounter first.
Yeah.
Like, you want, yeah, you but that's, want them yeah. to, like... There's certain parts of this country where you're like, start there. Like,
yeah.
Do not roll into Arkansas first.
Yeah. Well, that's what you or want them to already know. You're like, we are.
And there are
like,
great people there. Research. There are great people there. But enough 30 for 30s on ESPN will tell you that there's a lot of not great people there, yeah. too. And there's yeah. not great people in some of the states I'm saying are good.
Yeah.
But that's
and also in D.C. where you go, well, the politicians will talk. No, like, no, that's no, not no, right no, either. No. It should no. be Musk. He really should be the one. I don't know who. I guess Paul McCartney. I don't know who should talk to the aliens.
Like, who do you want? Like, even Bernie, they might be like, dude, slow down.
Even slow Bernie, down. They're like, you're too extreme. No one will pass those through the Senate.
I'll say it. Barack. All right. Oh, man. Kev, we went all over the place.
It's for sure Michelle, though.
Oh, yeah. Michelle would be great,
like, who
too.
Should talk to him? Michelle or Barack? It's like, well, Michelle.
Yeah.
Talking
I'll even
Barack.
Throw a John Kasich in there. He seems
Let
to,
John,
like...
He seems he to has, have
I have problems with him on some, like, major issues, John but
Kasich.
All in all...
Could you imagine? Aliens landed. We're sending John Kasich.
The sad thing is we're at a place in our you could do a lot worse.
You could. You really could. With a majority of people.
And I'm sure Kevin knew we were going to end up talking about Ohio governors.
Yeah.
You know what, Kevin? Fuck you.
I get crazy. Kevin, truly, no shit. This is like a great, great letter. And great. I want you to know, the three of us believe you. You have
100%.
Us. We all got totally. Your back. We 100%. Got your back.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time. I can't, personally, like I what I haven't seen, but I believe you.
Yeah.
I yes. believe you.
Yes.
If somebody's like, turns out Kevin was right. I go, yeah, of course he was.
Of course he was. That's why I believed him.
Yeah. All right. Kevin. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel,
and Noah Eberhardt.
Pennies and Pallers. With most phones, if you get a great deal, there's usually some sort of catch. So when we heard Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, we figured there had to be a catch there too. But the thing is, there just isn't one.
For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. That's it.
Mint Mobile is able to keep the cost of their plans low because they are the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out retail stores so there are no crazy overhead costs that you get stuck paying for. Instead,
Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you.
And all plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And guess what, Pennies and Pallers? You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts.
And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee.
So switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at, I'm going to say it again, just $15 a month.
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/penpals.
That's mintmobile.com/penpals.
If you're looking to make healthy choices, but you don't want to sacrifice taste or convenience, Magic Spoon gives you a delicious way to eat well, amazing taste, without all the bad stuff.
That's right. Magic Spoon cereal has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs, plus only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, birthday cake, probably ahead of our own birthday.
That's
they
right.
Make sure people
in
get
celebration.
Get it. Yeah. Birthday cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it while you can.
Or build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. What's your fave?
I do peanut butter butter. I'll do some granola with it. I'll throw it in yogurt. It's great. I love frosted. It's, folks, it's versatile. Hey, about versatility.
Guess what? If you're listening from Canada, we love you. Magic Spoon now ships there as well.
So go to magicspoon.com/penpals to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today.
And be sure to use our promo code PENPALS at checkout to save $5 off your order. The offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal, go to magicspoon.com/penpals and use the code penpals to save $5 off.
When was the last time you did something just for you? Discover your summer essentials with FabFitFun, the best subscription box service delivering full-size self-care and wellness products delivered straight to your door. Their experts carefully pick from top trending products for you to personalize your own box of happiness. Just choose your plan and get ready for the best in home, fashion, beauty, wellness, and so much more. So whether it's the perfect beach blanket, a handy wine chiller, or aloe vera gel, FabFitFun has you covered for all of your fun in the sun needs. You'll get to choose some of the products to go in your box while the rest are a surprise. Plus, you can access other perks like flash sales and new items up to 70% off. FabFitFun is more than just an incredible value. It's me time in a box, all about the brands you love, the brands you will love, and doing something that's just for you. Visit FabFitFun.com for 50% off your first box while supplies last when you use code TALKSHOW. That's FabFitFun.com, code TALKSHOW.
Hey, we're back.
And we're
I'm going to do it. If you have not started watching Physical, get on it,
people. What's your problem?
Physically get your TV onto Apple Plus or your tablet or your iPad or whatever screen device you use. Find out if Alexa can do it.
Yeah.
And watch Physical.
Yes.
And then
Apple TV Plus.
You can now go on YouTube and check out Rory's improvised special / documentary.
Go to youtube.com/official Rory Scovel. Tons of clips there, and also the doc and doc special hybrid is there. So check it out, please.
I hope by now... we're recording this a little bit early. I hope by now you've tweeted out like a blank piece of paper and said, just wanted everybody to see my set list from those shows. Come on.
I like that idea.
As far as I go, I'm going to a lot of places. So go to DanielRedKirk.com. The tour starts August 11th in Chicago, Illinois at North Bar. And then so many other places. You should know by now that it ends November 20th in Rochelle, Illinois.
As all things do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, should we just jump into a second letter? Do we have anything else? I mean, we got some thank yous and stuff we want to do.
Any announcements?
I don't have any, no.
You got to get some announcements, dude. It's truly the heartbeat of America is announcements. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
Do it.
This one is called Getting Old and Genetic Inheritance. Hi, pals. I'm 34 and have recently started noticing a new color, parentheses, or lack thereof, in my hair. I don't feel my age and I'm not ready to be graying, so I promptly plucked that shit. Upon further inspection, it was more white than gray, and I'm a little more okay with it because my grandma, Louise, had beautiful white hair. Is it Lois or Louise?
Lois.
I think it's Lois because there's no U.
I'm going to go Mari.
Okay. My other grandma, Esther, is 86 and surely doesn't act like it. I'm hoping this new hair growth eventually turns out like Lowe's, and I hope I'm still active and seem younger than my age like Esther does. Do you have any qualities you hope to inherit as you age? Any you really want to avoid? Lowe was also a crier. My aunt and dad are criers. I can cry just seeing someone cry in a movie. Really wish this genetic gift would dial itself down as I age. Take care, Sarah, she, her. Have we read this letter?
No.
God, this is another one of those time warps. Goddamn, Sarah put us in a time warp.
Maybe we did in a different
Dimension.
Oh yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, yeah.
Fuck dude, yeah, dude.
I can read whatever, dude.
Look at Noah. Noah's got such beauty. Can I see your hair?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. I've always been jealous of Noah's hair.
Whose hair do you have? Your mom's
hair?
My mom's?
My mom's hair.
You do?
If you'd stop, my dad doesn't have any hair.
Just bald.
So you know your whole life has been bald? This from your mom.
Yes. Yeah. I have the exact same color, texture, everything.
It's beautiful.
Really nice hair. Thank you very much.
You have a whole regimen?
It's like shampoo, conditioner, and then Moroccan oil. That's about it.
Moroccan oil.
Yeah. Barack Obama Moroccan oil. Moroccan oil. Yeah.
How did you know to go down a Moroccan roller coaster?
I was talking to Jared Goldstein.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
We know everybody in the biz.
He and I have similar hair textures.
He's a producer.
He's a comic. And
sorry, buddy.
It's all good.
I do.
I was growing out my hair, and I asked him what his regimen is, and so I just stole.
Or did you say what's your secret?
Come on. I think what's I might have said secret. I might have said
secret.
So he was
what's
like,
your shampoo?
It's some that, like
you don't have to say that, Noah.
No, come on,
Noah.
It's just some like anti dandruff shampoo, okay. Some random
just your standard. One.
How often do you wash your hair?
Once every day or two. I'm not really strict about it.
I think that's a lot.
It's probably too much.
I don't wash my hair.
It's probably too much.
Really?
I wash my hair once every, let's say, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I also try to not shower as much. I think like sweat and like getting stuff out is good for your skin.
No. Okay. You gotta shower every day.
I don't think so.
If you told me I don't go soap, but I need to rinse off, I'm a little bit more on board with that.
Yeah.
Because that's a little bit more sane.
You know, a lot of times I'll just jump in the pool.
Well, that's fine.
I don't know. That's chlorine that just sits on your skin. I actually think that's probably worse.
Well, then rinse that off.
I can't. That's the whole point of jumping in the pool. That's my rinse.
You do that thing. You're like a little kid, like late at night before you lay in bed. You bite your arm and then smell it for the chlorine. You little arm bite. Still smells like the pool.
I've never done that, but I love that. I love that was a big part of your life.
It's a little kid move.
And the lake. Noah. Do you do it for the lake too? Do you go smell some of the lake?
That's natural spring water. There's no smell, my friend.
There's no smell. It's Irish spring.
Do you ever do the chlorine smell later on in the day?
Yeah, have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I didn't even know about that. Well, we're going to. Lissa? Oh my God! What is this? I don't even know what this is.
It's just a little chlorine check-in. Later, they're like, "Yep, still smell like chlorine."
Oh man, I've never done that.
Really?
I probably reek of chlorine right now. And I did shower, and I haven't gotten in the pool since then.
What are you trying to say, Lissa?
I just have a natural chlorine smell.
Bite your arm, see if there's some chlorine still in there.
You bite it,
just a little, and then smell.
Yeah, I guess a little bit.
Okay, that's cute. That was a cute little moment you had there.
It really hurt.
Were you not supposed to bite that
I think
hard?
You guys are more into self-mutilation than you are knowing if there's chlorine.
No.
Do you bleed when you do the thing? Be real.
Depends on how the day went.
Depends on my anxiety going forward.
Do you have any genetic traits or genetic things that you're glad you got or wish you didn't get?
I don't know. I really don't know. I will say that while I do, just going off of hair, while I do feel like I'm always, and have been for probably more than a decade, worried that my hair was receding, I think I've settled in. I think for 40, I have actually been fine this whole time, and I think I maybe wasted a lot of anxiety about it that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because I've also had my head fully shaved down, and I liked it. So I don't know why. I don't know why I was like, well, I can't do that, the thing I like. I'm definitely getting grays and whites coming in, but I actually feel the opposite. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And like in my hair, like on the sides, I mean, Nate Bargatze has got such a good salt and pepper
race
going. It's good. And I'm like, not that I'll look like that because I think his is different than mine, but I actually don't mind the color because I think it just sort of adds like a layer to the what you look like.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited by it. And also it's like, well, I haven't had it for 40 years. And like, what am I thinking? It's never coming. So it's almost like, not trick yourself, but you might as well embrace these things because you're getting older. You can't avoid it. You can fight it. You can get surgeries. You can dye your hair. You can do skin color. You can take pills. You can do all those things and that's fine.
Sure.
But ultimately, you can't stop the change. You can throw a Band-Aid on it for a while, but it's coming, you mm-hmm. know? Especially with like the, and even like shooting the show, like they put like some dye like in my
just to even facial it out. Hair. Just to even it out.
Just get yeah. rid of like the gray. And I was just like, yeah, this is great. I mean, in something, they just gussy up. So mm-hmm. what do I care in my regular daily life? I think I'd waste a lot of time caring. Like the hair thing. I think I'd waste a lot of time caring. If I'm going to
be on camera or just every like week or two, I'll drop a little color just on. Because I don't.
Yeah.
If it was more full and even, I would be more willing to embrace it. When it's a little spotty, I just like uniformity.
Yeah.
So I don't. That's why I do it.
Yeah. But I think if I really was like fighting it.
It's sad. When I think I go crazy. It's sad to me when people fight
I think I
it.
Go crazy.
Like when they just fight.
There's levels of fighting it that are minimal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I have done pills. I've done hair things. I've never had like a hair surgery.
Yeah.
But I've definitely tried to slow hair loss.
Sure.
And I sit here as someone telling you, I don't know if where I'm at now is where I'd be anyways.
But I will tell you,
Rory, or if I sit here and I go, yeah, all those pills really helped. I actually don't know.
In our profession as an actor, it benefits you to have hair rather than not. It's not a deal breaker.
Right.
I'm doing fine.
Right.
But it,
and others, there's others yes, that are, yeah.
But it benefits you in way more ways.
Yeah.
To have hair just because of character and how that's going to look and what people see. And if anybody has never noticed, I'm not going to get on this huge soapbox, but like look at a commercial and tell me, find a white guy without hair.
Yeah.
It doesn't really exist. And that's, and the commercial doesn't even have to be about hair.
Right.
Look at most TV shows. That was what was so groundbreaking, not the most groundbreaking, but one of the groundbreaking things about Breaking Bad is your protagonist and your antagonist. At one point, everyone had a shaved head.
Yeah.
So, and I'm telling you, and guys, if you're listening to this in Rochelle, Illinois, you're right. None of this matters.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, no network television show would have put those people on in their cast.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, they might not even think about it.
Yeah.
If you're bald, you are the cop. You're the military guy. You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
With
you're
the
bouncer.
And people, well, what about Statham? Well, he's kind of always the anti-hero.
Yeah.
And The Rock is a person of color. It doesn't really seem to like.
Why does translate. Bald kind of just look better?
When?
Yeah. Why? I feel like when a person of color is bald, it just looks so good. Like I just look and I go, I can't. That's not how I would look. I wouldn't look so.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't gone full razor, and who knows, someday I will. Like, but I will say this:
thinking bald, when you see footage of The Rock back when he had hair, you're almost like, "What is that?"
Right. But I've always said, shaving your head is a fit man's game.
Yeah,
like
you want to be in shape.
It just seems to aesthetically.
You know who started that? Mr. Clean. True story.
You're not wrong.
I know. True story.
So that's kind of obviously like a genetic thing. You know what I've gotten that I like as a genetic inheritance is
as you age.
Yeah, and it feels kind of like self-serving to say this, but I only say it because it's true for Rosemary and it's true for Diane. Very good skin.
Yeah,
like I've almost never done anything to my face. Yeah. I don't think I've really washed my face since I was 14.
You look like you do.
Mm-mm. I put lotion on. That's
facial
it.
Skin. Well, that goes a long way.
It does.
It goes a long way.
But I started that maybe in the last 10 years.
No. That's a long time.
Yeah. But I've never had
done
anything.
I was about to say, honestly, your complexion, your skin is so great that if you were like, I don't do anything, I would just be like, then you have inherited that or you are fucking lying to me. And you're not just lying to me. You're lying to Noah.
Hey, remember we had a recent episode speaking of genetic inheritance where you told me you liked my nose.
Yes. Doesn't Daniel have a great nose?
Great nose, great arches in his feet.
He's just got it all. He's got it all.
I don't have it all, but I've got most of it.
You do have a good crow's feet, too, when you smile. You're a beautiful man.
You're beautiful. I saw those photos Mandy took of you. Have you seen the photos Mandy took of him?
I'm naked in a lot of them, so I can't
but
post.
But that's what I like more.
The vulnerability.
Yeah, for everyone listening, Daniel, you didn't have to get yourself worked up before the photo, but you did.
Yeah, I got myself worked up.
You fluffed yourself.
Those are the pills I'm talking about. For everyone listening, just so you know, Daniel's microphone head cover is tilted again. And
it's driving you nuts. Why don't you say something?
Because I want to see if I can handle it.
You can't. I can't handle it when I see it.
I'm trying my best. Well, Noah, what about you? Anything you're like as you age? Do you, qualities you hope to inherit as you age?
I you know, or avoid? I think the big thing is I hope that my mind stays sharp.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And then if I being vain, then you know, if I can keep my hair, great. If not, it's not the worst thing in the world. But
I mean, you lived it out.
Yeah,
I have another question. Is Alzheimer's dementia, is that anybody's game, or is there some genetics to that?
Yes, or
do we know that yet?
Yes, there are genetics.
There's genetics to it. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. There's
other factors can play into it as well. Mm-hmm. Just like cancer can be,
of course,
an external force or a genetic force.
Or
a disposition. But yeah, that stuff leads into it. So that's a good one. Do you guys come from criers? No. Sarah said here.
I don't think so.
My mom will cry a lot easier than me, but there are certain things that'll get me good.
Commercials.
I've never cried at a commercial.
Seven Up.
Whitney Houston singing the national anthem.
Really?
Gets me. Yeah, if I need to cry.
Even when she was still alive?
Just that one video of the Super Bowl from 1991.
Oh, God.
It was 91, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Early 90s for sure. And it changed the game. Mm-hmm. When someone sings the national anthem, they have to make a choice. Do I try to Whitney it at the end, or do I just do my own thing?
You
and
gotta
some
do
people.
Your own thing. Don't.
I've seen people try to do the Whitney and pull it off.
Okay. Come on.
Not Whitney, but they do it and you go, all right.
Okay.
And then you see some people try and you go, shouldn't have tried it.
Yeah.
And also, your attempt was so bad, I think you knew you shouldn't have tried it. But what did you think you were fucking doing?
Try
the bar for hitting the Whitney is so high that if you're going to try, you better be like, I can't dunk, but I can touch the rim. You better be able to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if someone's like, actually, I can only do layups. It's like, you shoot a free throw. What are you doing? Don't go in the paint.
Right.
Stay out of the paint.
You know what? I don't know if this is genetic or not, but sometimes I wish I was more of a laugher.
What do you mean?
I don't laugh much. Like a hearty, you know, like Pete Holmes, big laugher.
Yeah.
Sklar's big laughers.
I think I laugh.
Yeah, you're a good laugher. I don't. But then I try to think, like, do people, my mom laughs. So maybe it isn't genetic.
I will say this. I will say that you're not such a non-laugher that it stands out to me that you don't laugh.
I give positive reinforcement. And
I think you
and
laugh, so, yeah.
But I don't.
But also sometimes people have a high, and it's not a choice. We've talked about this. Sometimes people have a high bar for what catches them into a laugh, and it's not a choice. It's just something they might go, oh, that's funny. But to get someone to laugh, I know those people, they're like, I'm a hard laugh. When someone says I'm a hard laugh,
I don't like that.
But it comes off as someone being like, good luck trying to get me. I'm a hard laugh. Even they think they've decided. It's like, you haven't decided it. Right. You just have fewer things that actually tickle whatever that is in your brain that gets you to laugh, but you do laugh. If someone's like, Roy, are you a hard laugh? I'd say, I'm probably a very easy laugh. I'm definitely a generous laugher, but it still doesn't mean that, you know, the bar isn't there of like, you know, there's some people that don't, like you said, you give it.
Yeah.
It's the people who actively try to not give it where you go, your life is made of rotten eggs.
I like that. Yeah, I don't think is gullible? Gullible's not genetic.
Actually, that's a great question. Intellect. Is intellect, I mean, my younger sister is incredibly naturally smart, and I don't know who that comes from.
But people always say, oh, you get that from your mom, you get that from your dad. And then I wonder, like, what do you get? Like, if you're, like, easily scared.
You know, I think athleticism runs in my family's genetics.
Really?
Yeah, not all of my siblings, but I have a lot of aunts and uncles and my dad and myself. And
but is that
even what I see in Elliot sometimes, I'm like, I think athleticism, agility, whatever that is, I don't know if it's just there and you can do it, or if the confidence to think that you can jump that high or run that fast or move that and it's such an agile way. If your brain just tells you, you can do it, and so you do it. And then someone who believes they can't do it maybe can, but their brain is wired to go, nah, you can't. You're not. What are you doing? You can't do that.
But see, then you kind of get into a thing of like talent, right? Like you get the talent from your... Like, I know a kid who's amazing.
Talent is the most Illinois accent that comes out of you when you say that.
Oh, you've
say
heard
it again.
Talent? Have you heard me say calendar?
talent and calendar. And, you know, Daniel's always plugging, but right now talent? He wants you to go to his talent calendar and see that he's going to be touring this country.
Thanks, Will.
Calendar?
Calendar.
I actually like how you say it better.
Calendar?
But I can't do it because the people are like, why are you saying it like that?
Talent.
Talent.
But is talent a gene, right?
Talent.
I know some people get
it's
really
so
sad
Chicago.
When people talent. Die because talent. They're like, where does all that talent go? Like, where when Prince died, where did all... what? Is talent like a thing, right? Like Stephen King was born and something in him.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest writers of
most,
all
one
time.
Of the most prolific.
Yes.
Yeah. Even and, stuff he's never
but like
published.
That's, those stories and all that stuff, like that's in him. Like yeah. he has yeah. that talent.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jordan, I'm not saying you don't have to work hard and keep your tools sharp.
Yeah.
Or make them sharper than anybody else's.
Yeah.
But they're born with a talent. Like how do you measure talent and can talent be passed?
It's interesting.
I think talents, there's talent and there's drive, right? I think there's a combo, and I think more people are born with talent than you might think, but not as many people have talent and the drive.
Do you ever think that there are people, that there are people who were born to do one thing in this world better than anyone else, but they never explored that opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely.
They never. And I'm honest, guys, it could be anything. Like 100%. They could have been the best table builder in the world. 100%. They could have been the best sound engineer in the world.
And they don't know.
And they don't know.
Yeah. I think
that's what's amazing when you have a Sampras or an Agassi or a LeBron or like
all great tennis players.
Yes. But like any person with a where you're like, oh, these things all Tiger, like all these things kind of like lined up.
Yeah.
You were born with this and it was facilitated and you had the drive to then also keep doing it.
Yeah. I think that
like there's probably the world's greatest chess players that never picked up a piece and they never knew.
There's a lot of people that are more successful because their drive outweighs their talent.
100%.
People told me early on. Well, people said early on, they were just like, you know, you can have all the talent in the world, but you won't get as far as the person who's more driven, who's not as talented as you. They will always get further than you. And I always thought like, that's so interesting that you can't just go, well, I'm good at this, so there it is. It's like, well, no, because the people who don't actually, who think they're okay at it, they might be like, well, I got to really work hard because I'm okay at it. And then you realize they've passed you. It's almost like this weird, like, you know, the tortoise and the hare racing. It's like, you can't just assume that you've got this thing and it's going to work out. You still have to have that drive. And I think when you say all those things lined up, I think maybe there was an awareness from parents and family. And sometimes I think
like Michael Phelps, I think they probably saw that kid swim. We're like, holy.
Yeah. Yeah. And his like size. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that get into basketball because you're like, fuck, you're tall. You just play basketball. And then they find out that they just happen to have a personality where like, no one's ever valued me. I've always just been called like this tall, freaky guy. And then I started playing basketball and like, you know, people really valued me. And I decided, man, I want to get really good at basketball. And then they realized that they were capable of doing that. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think some of that is abusive. I think there's definitely moments where you're like, you're going to play this sport. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. But there is a world where there is also to those elements where someone's like, my dad made me shoot free throws every single day. And you go, yeah, and I might think that's crazy, but then it's like, but yeah, you're the best basketball player in the world, so it does take this thing. It's almost like a problem you can't
solve. The whiplash line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where is the whiplash line?
Yes. Yeah.
Not my tempo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, I love this letter.
Not me. What if didn't? I felt that way? No, I loved it. It's great.
We'll close
it
out.
I loved them all.
We'll close it out, and then we'll say a couple of words after. Rory, do the honors.
All right. Sarah, this letter is great. We really explored ourselves. Nuno was here, and it means a lot to us, and it means a lot to us that you were a part of this show. Folks, head over to Team Coco and check us out as we do our teasers and our full episode at the end of July. But until then, we still have you, Sarah, and we wish you well. Your pen pals, sincerely, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Noah Eberhardt.
And before we go, before we get out of here, I just want to say thanks to some people at Starburns that helped make this possible. Rory and I can have an idea. We can make it good. We can have a great producer. But there's people up and down the line that have to like support that idea and facilitate it and record it and do it. Obviously, Noah, thank you so much for being our first producer and our second producer and our third producer.
First and third.
First and third.
He was like Jordan came out of retirement to come back to the team.
Well, he faxed us.
Remember
said,
how you played
back.
Baseball for a little while?
It did not go well.
It did not. But you have a lot in common with Jordan like that.
Well, thank you guys.
And then Aristotle Acevedo, who is great, still a friend of the show, who I talked to recently, was like, I have a letter I need to write into you and Maura. I was like, do it,
get
brother.
It. Yeah. Get it going.
So we love him. We thank him so much. Our engineers, Jessica Gutierrez and Brendan Lynch Solomon. You know, we talked about Pen Pals 2.0,
1.5.
Yep. That wouldn't have happened with somebody like Brendan Lynch Solomon, who didn't come over and set up this board and set up these recording templates. And he's also just like one of the coolest people you'll ever meet. And you want to talk about like putting in work. The guy just makes things better by being affiliated with
us. And hair. You want to talk about hair?
Beautiful hair.
Great hair. And great music as well. Yeah. I love that dude. And no one answers the phone better. Like when you call him, he's like, Daniel Van Kirk, how are you? Like it's very like, oh God, I love Brendan Solomon. Huge part of what we're doing here. And Jessica as well. Thanks so much for picking up in these past few months. And then as far as Starburns go, there's people like Brian Baldinger. Brian encouraged us to do live shows early. He even like was like, you guys should do this live show. And we were like, we aren't going to do that show, but thanks. We are going to go do this one. Just because he believed in what we were doing. He'd always been a big supporter and a fan, and even most importantly, a friend. Land Romo, who is currently, he is now the CEO of Starburns Audio and has always been a friend of the show. He's been a friend of mine. I've worked with him a lot on Dumb People Town. He was always there to like lend advice and tips for this, and he's really helped with this transition to Team Coco. So can't thank Land enough. And then I will try not to get emotional and say thanks to Jason Smith, who is a good man. And for those of you probably news, if you didn't know, he passed away a few months ago unexpectedly. And he was the CEO of Starburns and a great guy. And any idea that I would come to him with, he'd be like, let's do it. And when I came to him with Pen Pals and Rory and I did, he was like, yeah, do it. Yeah, let's do it. And man, you're lucky if you get people like that in your life. So thanks, Starburns. This is great. This is a genetic inheritance that I got from my grandmother and my mother, and there's nothing I can do about it.
And before, I think before we leave Starburns, Noah?
Yeah.
Any final words? You've earned the microphone talk to these people.
This is brutal.
Well,
here's what I don't like about you two clowns.
I've written a list.
Thank you. You know, thank you guys. Thank you, Dan, for taking me out to lunch. And thank you guys for bringing me on the show, making me a collaborator.
Of course,
from the beginning. You know, insisting on bringing me around the country when you guys did live shows. That meant a lot to me. Really believing in me and making me feel like part of the family. So I
you
really,
always are.
Really appreciate that for both of you guys.
Hashtag collaborator.
No, man, you're great.
We love you too.
And you're
buddy.
Not going anywhere. We'll Absolutely. Have you back on another one of these. To Noah.
2025, when we let you back on.
So, Noah, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
A podcast network.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know, he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.